dollar level. Pledge $5 if you have that. Whatever is in your heart, in your wallet to do, do it now for Democracy Now! 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org are the ways to connect with us. 1 minute to go, $740 to make the goal for Democracy Now! We can do this together, folks. Many hands make light work. What's at stake is up in just a few moments. Marsha Coleman Adebayo has a fine program on tap for you. So please continue to listen and support WPFW 800-222-9739, WPFW Washington.
Chairman O'Malley at Sotella and one a historic victory against the FBI after the agency raided his home and headquarters. But the fight is not over. Let's talk about how you can help. Third-party candidates rarely have a voice, but today you'll hear from Nancy Wallace, Green Party candidate for Congress, District 6. And we are in fund drive. Please give generously. Good morning and welcome to What's at Stake. I'm your host, Dr. Marsha Coleman Adebayo, and I'm with you the fourth Wednesday of each month. Today's program is perhaps the most important of my tenure at WPFW because a man's life is at stake, as well as two of his colleagues, Jesse Neville and Penny Hess. Together, they are called the Uhuru Three. They will be sentenced for their commitment to telling the truth and fighting for the liberation of Black people on Monday, December 16th in Tampa, Florida, in the Middle District Federal Court. You'll hear more about your opportunity to intervene and to speak up and speak out for justice in a few minutes. Today's program is full of important information. Please have pen and paper ready. But first, WPFW is engaged in a fund drive. This is your opportunity to give back to the community and to make sure that this platform remains centered and unapologetically committed to truth-telling. As a whistleblower who sued the federal government for violating my civil rights and my right to tell the truth, and by the way, I won, I can attest to the importance of WPFW as the most important cultural institution that we own in the Black community. So please call and give generously. Good morning, Chairman O'Malley. Welcome to What's at Stake.
Uhuru, thank you so very much. And I can also attest to the significance of WPFW. I know that it was you and other Pacifica stations and those not controlled by state media, often referred to as corporate media, that's responsible for the significant victory that we've already had and that will contribute to winning in December 16th when I'm being sentenced. And so I'm calling on people to send the money. It's really important for people, all of us, and especially those of you who consider yourself supporters of me and the Uhuru Three, to send whatever you can to WPFW. And again, that's 800-222-9739, or go to WPFWFM.org and make a contribution. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chairman O'Malley. As usual, you're just right on topic for this day. I mean, you know, I really want to get into the Uhuru Three, but let me just thank you for those encouraging words about WPFW. I think all of us here who volunteer at this station, we're very passionate about WPFW because of the work that we are allowed to do on behalf of our community. Before we discuss what happened on July 29th, 2022, allow me just to refresh the memories of our listeners in terms of your bio. O'Malley Asatella, Pan-Africanist, socialist, and activist, was born in St. Petersburg, Florida. He's 83 years old. Chairman O'Malley served in the Army from 1959 to 1963, where he first publicly critiqued U.S. imperialism and challenged racism. In 1966, Chairman O'Malley established the St. Petersburg Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC. In 1972, Chairman O'Malley formed the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement and the African People's Socialist Party. He's authored 13 books, including The Road to Socialism is Painted Black in 1987. So, you know, Chairman O'Malley, just thank you for devoting your life to the cause of Black liberation and to the upliftment of our community. In order to place what we're going to talk about now in context regarding your current court battles, on July 29th, just as background, 2022, your house was bombed by the FBI, the U.S. government, and you and your wife were held at gunpoint. Can you provide a very brief summary of what happened?
What happened was my wife and I were both awake. It was 5 o'clock in the morning, pre-dawn here in St. Louis, where I'm living now. In fact, at the very table that I'm sitting at now, my wife and I were sitting talking about what had to happen that day. I was preparing to go to the gym. She was presiding over the initiation of a doula program here in St. Louis for working for safe births for mothers and children in a city where something like 14, enough Black babies die in the first year of life to fill 14 kindergarten classes. And out of the night, this booming sound came out, indicating that the people in this residence should come out with our hands up and our hands empty. And after leaving and going downstairs to what normally is a very darkened situation, I see armed men in camouflaged outfit standing before armored personnel vehicles with assault weapons, and that were mounted with laser targeting devices that were hitting me in the chest, multiple laser targeting devices. My wife, following me downstairs, was almost hit in the face with a drone that was sent upstairs. Simultaneously, explosions were going off around our house and in the back stairwell of the house itself. These were flashbang grenades, concussion grenades. The military forces were on the porch of our neighbors next door, where they had put tape over the doorbell video so nobody could see what they were doing. They had shut down part of the neighborhood. They had...
Please, go ahead. Chairman O'Malley.
They had shut down part of the neighborhood, utilizing the St. Louis Police Department to do that. So that happened here in St. Louis. On the other side of town, where the majority of the white people live, they had attacked our center, which is a solidarity center, and they had used battering rams. They had knocked down doors. They had used flashbang grenades. They had done something similar. They had attempted to tape over the video security system there at that place. They had gone upstairs where they're living dwelling for apartment, and they had put two solidarity forces, Jesse Neville and his now wife, Amanda Carlos, that they held them at gunpoint. They had gone to Penny Hess's home, where she and her housemate were held at gunpoint. They had knocked down windows. They had knocked down doors. They had stolen all kinds of devices, recording devices, the cell phones, laptops, the whole gamut of things. And they had done similar things. They had handcuffed my wife. They had zip tied me behind our backs, and they held us at gunpoint there. And so after, you know, we had protested for a while and asked what is going on, why are you doing this? They indicated that because there was a Russian national who had been indicted, who was in Russia, and my name came up on the indictment, and they were serving a search warrant, they said. And so that was what happened then. And we were not arrested. I was finally able to get them to say I could leave. They, with some difficulty, cut off the zip ties from behind my back. They took the handcuffs off my wife and said that we could, after we persistently asked them, can we leave? They said yes. And so we left. And then 9 months later, no charges now, 9 months later, they indict me, Penny Hess, Jesse Neville, for being Russian agents, that we were working for the Russians and for conspiracy to be Russian agents. And so that's what happened on July 29, 2022, that led finally to the trial that happened in September in Tampa, Florida.
So it's a story that is, you know, that every child in this country should be able to repeat by memory at this point, because it is so outrageous that what happened to you happened under, quote unquote, a Democratic administration. So you were charged with acting as an agent for the Russian government and conspiracy to impact American elections for a foreign government. What did the court ultimately find, and what is the impact of their findings?
Well, we went to trial. They had initially said we'd be tried for 4 weeks. The trial lasted something like 7-8 days instead, because there was nothing that the government had. They had taken from us in these raids and in other surreptitious methods. They had hacking. They had taken from us what they said was the equivalent of 2.5 million books in terms of terabytes. Mm-hmm. And so we went to court, and an objective of this charge of being a Russian agent, one of them was to neutralize, negate any criticism that black people could make about our treatment in this country, by saying that it was the Russians, just the Russians, that the United States is wonderful. We had a Negro, Barack Hussein Obama, and another, Kamala Harris, who are in place to be the highest, you know, places, elements of the government. So it's clear evidence that everything is hunky-dory for African people in this country. So they would negate any criticism that we make of this country, of our treatment, by saying that we are employed by Russian agents. And what were the overt acts that we were guilty of having committed? Well, one, I went to Moscow. I went to Russia in 2015 twice to attend a conference of nations, one to see a conference on immigrants, another on the conference of nations that supposedly brought together people from different parts of the world that were fighting for self-determination. And two, we were guilty of having run a candidate candidates in 2017-2019 in St. Petersburg, Florida, for city council and for mayor on the reparations, putting reparations on the ballot. Three, we were guilty of posting and organizing around a petition to the United Nations, accusing the United States of violation of the United Nations Convention on the crime, on the punishment, prevention and crime, punishment of the crime of genocide. And also mustn't forget that we came out in opposition to the United States war on Russia that was using Ukraine as the vehicle to be able to do that, continuing what's more than 100-year war that's being made against Russia in one iteration or another. So those were included in the so-called overt acts that we committed to do this crime. But we went to trial. Despite 2.5 million books of information, the U.S. government was unable to convince that jury that we worked for anybody other than black people. In fact, the jury found us not guilty of being Russian agents. And but the contradiction, of course, is they then found us guilty of conspiring to be Russian agents, conspiring to do something that they said we didn't do. So that's obviously an extraordinarily contradictory kind of verdict that came out of it. But we're facing 5 years in prison for conspiring to do something that we didn't do. That's where we are right now. And we are here with you and talking to hundreds and perhaps thousands of people. And we continue to talk about it because we are fighting them against this ridiculous charge, just as we've done since the initiation of this assault that's been made on us.
You know, one of the reasons why I mentioned how old you are at the beginning of this broadcast was just because for 5 years, that is a life sentence for you. I mean, there's you know, yeah. 5 years, you know, that's a life sentence. And the government knows that. And so it's one of the stressors that they're putting on this movement, which is obviously intended to destroy the Uhuru movement. So, you know, again, let me just mention that, you know, we are on Pledge Drive today, and we're asking everyone to please call in and pledge to support this particular segment of What's at Stake. I know we already have a couple of pledges that have come in, but please call 800-222-9739, 800-222-9739, or go to our website at WPFWFM.org, click on the donate button, or cash app us $WPFWFM. So everyone, please, please, please support this program.
That's right, Marcia. Katia here with you, and I just heard Chairman Omawale Yeshitila. Good morning, Chairman. It's so great to have you back on our air, and I want to encourage everyone that understands the importance of having a platform like WPFW and a program like What's at Stake, where you can hear the voice of Chairman Yeshitila and what has happened, the persecution of the Uhuru 3, which corporate media certainly is not lifting up. But WPFW has been there with, in fact, the Black is Back Coalition, with Chairman Yeshitila and his good work for decades now. And if you appreciate this kind of solidarity, then be in solidarity with the work that Marcia is doing this morning and the excellent work she does every time she hosts What's at Stake. The number to call, 800-222-9739, or you can go online to WPFWFM.org. We have $500 to go for this hour to make the gold, and you can do that for us. You can make that call or that click that makes the difference. Again, to connect and pledge your support to What's at Stake, a $500 goal this morning between now and the top of the hour, 800-222-9739 or WPFWFM.org. Marcia?
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, I am, every time I hear this story, I'm more outraged than the last time I heard in fact, one of the things that I love is, you know, political slogans, because I think they encapsulate sort of the energy of a movement. And one of the slogans that have come out of this particular struggle is "Free the Uhuru 3, not one day in prison." Free the Uhuru 3, not one day in prison. I mean, I think that it's so completely outrageous what the U.S. government is doing. And so what I'd like to do, because we only have about 15 minutes left in this segment, I wanted to get to the activities that are coming up, because there are like five or six activities that we can all join in to support you, Chairman Omawale, and the Uhuru movement. But before we do that, this is also a free speech issue, and I'm a whistleblower, as you know, and this particular segment of What's at Stake really focuses on blowing the whistle on the U.S. government or local government, Montgomery County, or, you know, governments that that are corrupt and that harm the public good. So what is the significance for the free speech movement of what happened to you in Florida with the attack by the FBI against your movement?
Well, obviously, the attack by the FBI was to shut us up and to frighten people so they wouldn't be likely to support us, too. They would be too frightened to come out and support us, seeing military forces of the type that attacked us. You haven't seen this kind of attack in the longest period of time against the movement since the 60s, and especially what happened with the Black Panther Party. So that was a part of the basis for this, the nature of the assault itself. But the other thing that we are confronted with, we beat them, and this is critical. We beat them on the charge of working for Russians. They can't say that anymore. So what they did was charged us with a thought crime. So they say we didn't do something, but we thought about doing it, or we talked about doing it, according to them, how they would interpret it. And then, and that's really, really, really dangerous. Because
scary.
If you don't
it's absolutely
have-
scary. That people can be charged for what they think.
Yeah, what they say, not only what we think, but what they say we think. What they, how can they know what we think? They said this is what it comes down to, and it means that you don't have to commit an act. You don't have to do anything. They didn't charge us with robbery, burglary, or attacking the White House or the Capitol or anything like that. They attacked us. Everything they attacked us was about speech and thought. And so therefore, it means that even this discussion we're having now can be construed to be some kind of conspiracy to do something. And this is a very dangerous thing that everybody is faced with. It's not just an attack on the Uhuru movement, Mali Shetela, the Uhuru 3, and it's an attack on everybody. And it's also an attack on people who are not black, engaged in the black liberation movement, because these rights of First Amendment, a Bill of Rights, were not built for us, because in 1791, when these were ratified by the Congress, African people were property. So clearly these rights were not for us. We never had rights. All of our existence in this country was fighting for the right to speak, the right to assemble, the right to associate with whom we want to. It was created for white people. And what that means is they come through us to get at the rights for everybody else. Mm-hmm. And that's why this is so significant to be, that it should be understood. And
that's interesting that in this sense we are the canaries in the mine, right? I mean, you're, the sacrifice that you're making is to save in many ways to sound the alarm for all of us. Because you're right, if they can charge us with what we think, what they say we are thinking, is an incredible. It's hard to even get your mind to go there, to be honest with you, because in many instances, particularly in the Black liberation struggle, because of the harm that has been done to the Black body and to Black people, whether they're alive or they're dead, you know, the oppressors are always thinking that we're trying to advance some movement against them, because they're dealing with, you know, their own pathologies, and they you know, they basically transfer those pathologies onto us. So, again, I mean, the work that you're doing is a community effort. So I really want to get to, in the last few minutes, I really want to get to six different activities that everyone can participate in. So let's, if you can just, help me with this. So Thursday, which is tomorrow, October 24th, at 7:30 p.m., there's going to be an emergency webinar. The Black is Back Coalition, a hands-off Uhuru Fight Back Coalition, titled Africans and Palestinians, One Struggle, One Fight. And so how can people learn more about this webinar and how to join the webinar?
Well, for this, people should register at tinyurl.com/UhuruPalestine. tinyurl.com/UhuruPalestine. That's a very important webinar.
So that's tomorrow at 7:30. And then on Saturday, October 26th, your movement is busy. Chairman O'Malley. I mean, your movement is so busy. Saturday, October 26, 2024, there's a march against genocide, Reparations Now, And that's a solidarity march with African Palestinian oppressed people. And that's going to be in St. Louis,
That's
Missouri.
Going to be in St. Louis, yes. And people can get information on at the, from the same place that we just mentioned, registertinyurl.com. But you can also go to hands off uhuru.org.
Okay, now that's important. Thank you so much. And then on Sunday, on the 27th, you have a reparations conference at 10 a.m. That's Central Time, though. 10 a.m. Central. Is that right?
Yes, and that's 11 Eastern Time. Yes.
11 Eastern Time. And how can people sign up for that conference? I assume it's on Zoom.
Well, again, people can go to handsoffuhuru.org, handsoffuhuru.org, and access all of this information.
Okay. And then very important, your movement has asked for our community to send in reference letters, and you don't have to know Chairman O'Malley to send in a reference letter. I think by now our community has heard him over the years at WPSW, and you understand the work that he's doing. So people are asking the court, the Uhuru movement is asking for the community to send in character reference letters. That deadline has been extended to October 30th, 2024. Many of us have already sent in our letters. And you go to www.handsoffuhuru.org /letters. Or is it forward slash? It's a forward slash. Letters. So please go there and please send in letters. Everyone can do that who's listening to this program right now. Is send in a letter saying, you know, the work that Chairman O'Malley is doing is a benefit to our community. He should not go to prison for 5 years for freedom of speech. I mean, but there are also sample letters, too, so you don't necessarily have to draft your own letter. And then on November 2nd, and this is what I really want people to focus on, November 2nd and November 3rd will be the 16th annual Black People's March on the White House. It's sponsored by the Black is Back Coalition for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparations, and is also co-sponsored by Hands Off Uhuru and the Fight Back Coalition. It starts at 11 o'clock here in Washington, D.C. at Malcolm X Park, followed by a march and rally at the White House. And then on November 3rd, there's a conference. And you can go to blackisbackcoalition.org or blackpeoplesmarch.com. So that's an activity that we can all join in the Washington, D.C. area. And that's November 2nd and November 3rd. And then lastly, which is just, quite frankly, an obscenity, which is the sentencing of Chairman O'Malley and his colleagues, is scheduled now for Monday, December 16th, 2024, in Tampa, Florida, at the Middle District Federal Court. And you can learn more about how you can help and sign up to be in attendance at that hearing. Through handsoffuhuru.org. Did I miss anything, Chairman O'Malley?
Yes. The thing that you missed was that if people cannot do, or whether they do these things you mentioned or not, one of the most important things you can do to support Uhuru 3 is call 1-800-222-9739 and make a contribution to What's at Stake, to WPFW for the incredible work that you've done up to now. So that's the missing thing. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I mean, considering what you're going through, for you to be just so incredibly, gracious as well as courageous. I'm always in awe of being in your presence. And I thank you so much for your dedication and commitment. And I look forward to having you back on WPFW when we can collectively celebrate
right
your victory. because, you know, that has been the history of Black folks in this country. We go through the most arduous situations, but we always come out through victory's door. And that is what will happen with the Uhuru movement and what will happen on December 16th. So thank you so much, Chairman O'Malley, and we look forward to staying in touch and making sure that we play our role, our part in the liberation movement. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And we call on everybody to become whistleblowers with us all. And that's all we've all done. We've blown the whistle on the United States government, and they attacked us. And whistleblowing is a righteous thing to be engaged in. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you
so much. It's our First Amendment right to blow the whistle. Uhuru. So thank you very much. Thank you very
Uhuru.
Much. Uhuru. Again, we are in Pledge Drive, and we're asking everyone to please call 800-222-9739 or go to our website at WPFWFM.org, click Donate button, Cash App, $WPFWFM. So please, please, please pledge for this show. You know, we are blowing the whistle on corruption and in government, and it's a very difficult thing to do, but it's a very important part of what we do as a part of any kind of movement for liberation. So we will take a short break for community announcements and come right back. Thank you.
We're back. WPFW is excited to announce the return of the Social Justice Calendar, your go-to weekly update on the latest events, actions, and initiatives promoting equity, justice, and change across our community. The calendar's mission is to connect you with the heartbeat of grassroots activism in the DMV. Each week, we'll spotlight rallies, workshops, forums, and community actions happening across the region. If you have an event to share, submissions can be emailed to socialjustice@wpfw.org. Please include the name, date, and address of said event in a format that is no longer than a sentence or two on Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, at least 2 weeks in advance of your event date. Space is limited, so submissions are considered in the order that they are received. The Social Justice Calendar is yet another way that WPFW connects, engages, and uplifts our community as we build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Look at the chat.
The Kennedy Center's Let's Go There series uses opera to examine contemporary issues. In Beethoven's Fidelio, the husband suffers political imprisonment and his wife impersonates a prison guard to free him. Imprisonment and freedom will be explored in a panel discussion moderated by Nikichi Taifa, featuring Fox and Rob, the inspiring couple from the documentary Time, Danielle Cho, Washington National Opera cellist, and Charles Thornton of the D.C. Corrections Information Council. Acclaimed tenor Chasmin Williams Ali will also perform excerpts from Fidelio. The free event and reception will be held Wednesday, October 30th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at the MLK Junior Library located at 901 G Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to What's at Stake. I'm your host, Dr. Marsha Coleman Adebayo, and we need everyone's help to keep WPFW on the air. So we're in Pledge Drive, and so we're asking for everyone to please go to your phone and to please make a pledge to this wonderful radio station that keeps all of us so informed. This is your radio station, and most of the programmers here, I think almost all of us are volunteers. We do this because we passionately love WPFW. So please call to pledge 800-222-7939, 800-222-7939. Marsha,
Marcia, yes. If I could jump in. Yeah, it's 9739. But I also want to say thank you to Anonymous, who has gotten us started today out of Bethesda, Maryland. Thank you so much, Anonymous. And we have $400 to go, folks. Please support that, which supports you in the form of this fantastic program, What's at Stake, executively produced by Verna Avery Brown, Marcia Coleman Adebayo being one of the rotating hosts. And we heard a riveting interview with Chairman Omawale Yeshitila, and he said the best thing that you can do for the Black is Back Coalition, the best thing you can do for the Uhuru 3 and their persecution is to, in fact, support liberatory media, support WPSW. So 800-222-9739, WPSWFM.org, the way is to connect, $400 to go between now and the top of the hour, so that gives us 25 minutes to do this work. And we want to come back, Marcia, if you allow me, we'll come back a little later in the program and hopefully thank some folks.
Thank you. Absolutely. So let me just again say, please, please, please. Also, you can go to our website at WPFWFM.org, click on the Donate Now button, Cash App at $WPFWFM. So we need everyone to please go and make a contribution. Because this is really important work that we're doing here. So please support us. My next guest is Nancy Wallace. Nancy is running for the U.S. congressional seat held currently by Representative Jamie Raskin. We invited both Congressman Raskin and the Republican candidate Cheryl Riley to appear on this show today. They both had calendar conflicts, but indicated they'd like to appear at a later date. So welcome, Nancy. Welcome to What's at Stake. Actually, I can't hear you.
Thank you so much, Marcia. It is a true honor to be on your program.
Oh, great. Thank you. And I've already started calling you Nancy, so I assume that that's okay with you. So the candidates for both the Democratic and Republican parties have received a substantial amount of coverage, but very rarely do we have the opportunity to hear from third-party candidates. And that's really, again, one of the amazing gifts that we get through WPSW. So perhaps you could use this time to introduce yourself to the WPSW community. Who is Nancy Wallace? Nancy?
We can't hear her.
Okay, Nancy, we can't
you hear me
you.
Now?
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay, thanks. So hello to everyone. And it is a great honor to be on. Marcia has known me about 7 years. And I first started to run for office actually against Mr. Raskin in 2016 when he was trying to move up from the state legislature to the federal, the U.S. House of Representatives office that we're talking about now. This is the lower half of Montgomery County from Rockville South. And I grew up here since the age of 6 months. And then I was fortunate enough to travel, often by hitchhiking. I've been to 33 countries, including to two countries in Africa. And I've found that the images that we were taught in the United States in my school is not actually the reality out there. I did 14 years lobbying Capitol Hill on behalf of the environmental movement, endangered species, and 4.5 years fighting for funding for women in developing countries to have reproductive health care. And then I went into the IT field during my day job in order to survive, and I support everyone, please donate to WPFW. And then I started working on the volunteer side on politics and joined the Green Party about 15 years ago. Specifically, when I realized the Democratic Party was fundamentally in bed with the local big money, the real estate developers. And then the more I learned about the background of the Democratic Party, that they, in fact, are taking billions of dollars of money from you know, from the corporations, and really just using social issues as a kind of fig leaf for the fundamental support of the Wall Street and military-industrial complex. And I also, in my IT day job, worked in the Pentagon for 2.5 years in acquisition of materiel, and realized that it was such a close relationship that I was in meetings with these big corporations that are selling the arms to U.S. and realizing that U.S. is the largest arms dealer in the world. And I became more and more educated, coming from a nice background in Bethesda and lots of white privilege. And then the more I learned, the more I realized, this isn't right. The whole system is corrupt, and we need a whole new way. And so joining the Green Party has been fantastic for me because it fundamentally is not corrupt. We do not accept a penny from corporations under any circumstances. And we have the same problem WPFW does. If you're not taking the money from the big guys, from the corporations, then it's the people on the ground that need to support you. So I just use a lot of my own retirement money to run my campaigns. If necessary, people also donate. I've had some very good supporters. But thank goodness for social media, because we start to get our message out at a very low cost through social media. And becoming more and more educated and having mentored a family of children actually in D.C. and seen for myself, and gradually over the years realized with horror how unbelievably difficult life in the United States is as an African American. And
So, the slogan of your campaign is transformative change now. What is transformative change in the context of American imperialist politics? What is that?
It's a fundamental shift from dominance as the motivating factor in our public policy and also in our entertainment, our culture, to caring and connection and compassion. That view of what's important, that it's important to dominate other peoples, people within our society, African Americans, Native Americans, women, immigrants, and that absolute fundamental transformation at what I would almost call a religious level. We need to get the right values back as the core values. And so that's what that means. It's borderline, it's effectively revolutionary, but I don't support violence in any form. Green Party, one of our four international key pillars, is nonviolent. So it's the transformation that is possible and needed. And in fact, it's the change that has to happen for us to survive, because we have to transform our relationship with the earth, with Mother Nature, from dominance to cooperation with Mother Nature in order to address climate change.
Exactly. So what's on everyone's mind, I would assume, is the issue of the Green Party as a spoiler for the 2024 election. One of the boogeymen, suppose, that have haunted third-party campaigns is that you're actually spoiling it. You're spoiling the results for the two dominant parties. And in this election, of course, the two major spoilers, I suppose, would be Dr. Jill Stein and Cornel West. In fact, as you know, there's a Democratic Party commercial about Dr. Stein. It may be the first time that, you know, someone has triggered that kind of reaction. Is the Green Party a political spoiler? And if not, why not?
Well, you can't spoil something that's already spoiled. And it's so corrupt already. Thousands of people are dying every day in America from the corruption and the spoiling of our food, our water, our air, our justice system, our police forces. And so the word spoiled actually comes from the 1844 election, where there was no party advocating abolition of slavery. And a party was formed, Liberty Party, specifically for that. And as a result of that, it actually did defeat one of the parties, and the fragmentation, et cetera. The result of that actually was that there was a party in the next election that supported abolition. So the better phrase, I think, is that we're simply the People's Party, because if you look at the research, for instance, from the polling research from Pew Research Council, one of the most respected research institutions in the country, the Green Party represents the majority point of view of most of Americans. Most Americans support free universal health care, not just the free private insurance that we have now under Obamacare, but real health care like Europe and Canada have. Most Americans support free public college, again, which European countries have. And the list goes on and on and on. So the Green Party actually should be the majority party in the House, the Senate, and the White House. So we would say that the Democratic and Republican parties are spoiling not just the election, but they're actually spoiling democracy. And right now, a majority of people in Maryland, new voters, are registering as independent. They are rejecting the Republican and Democratic Party because the system isn't working. They have spoiled the country, and they have essentially spoiled democracy. We have a whole set of laws on the books in Montgomery and Maryland, which Mr. Raskin didn't do anything about when he was in the state legislature for 10 years, that prohibit the state actually from including us in the state-run primary, which is incomprehensible, and we actually think it's unconstitutional. We are a legitimate, if we meet the qualification requirements of the state law to be a political party, shouldn't we be included in the regular state primaries? It's really incomprehensible, and this is true in many states across the country. After World War II, an entire generation of laws were brought in to oppress third parties. Third parties had been quite active for 100 years in the United States. In fact, we're responsible for virtually all of our forward progress in terms of getting rid of child labor, in terms of women's votes. There was first a position of a third party. Many, many positions and policies that we take for granted now as really just simply human and humanizing of our society, they came from third parties. But after World War II, the Republican and Democrats put in this massive oppressive system, and it's extremely tough to run as a Green, but, you know, we will not give up, we will not be moved, and we're going to be here as the voice for people who want a true representative democracy free of corruption.
Let me just take a second, because I needed to call out to our community again to ask them to please help us with Pledge Drive again. Please go to your phone. If you want to hear conversations like what we're having with Nancy Wallace, you know, WPFW is really your only choice. And so we're asking you to please go to your phones at 800-222-9739 or go to the website at WPFWFM.org, click on the donate button or Cash App at the $ WPFWFM. So we're counting on you to support the channel. We only have about 7 or 8 minutes, so I want to quickly go over some issues so that people can really understand, like, where your campaign, and like I said, we'll have the other politicians on at a later date. But, for example, if you're elected, Nancy, what kind of legislation would you introduce around climate change?
I would introduce a legislation to take 10% of the defense budget, which is therefore hundreds of billions of dollars, and put it into super insulation in everyone's houses, particularly older houses and the assisted public housing, using local labor at good rates, and also put on solar panels on all these, not just the community residential areas, but also all the big box stores everywhere. This is an emergency. This is equivalent to World War II, when we did a massive transformation of our industrial base in 6 months. And at this point, we need to do this to transform our economy to peace. So we would need to take that money and change a series of factories to manufacture solar panels here as quickly as possible, train local people, and drastically reduce our utility bills by that action, and reduce our energy need. We also can put in micro hydro, it's called, and also geothermal. And all of those will build local economies with local labor. And these are small energy producers, so we're not creating a new generation of huge capital-heavy projects that will still be run by Wall Street. This will be energy within people's control. So that's one thing. Another thing is, we need to switch our agriculture to organic agriculture. Not only will it be safer for us because it won't be putting all of these petroleum-based toxics into our bodies and our children's bodies, but the nitrogen fertilizers in commercial toxic agriculture actually are changed to nitrous oxides in the soil released in the atmosphere, and that's 300 times worse than carbon dioxide. In terms of the global warming factor. So there's so many things we can do. There are solutions out there. There's even carbon capture. We actually have the knowledge and the technology to reverse climate change. It's not enough just to go to net zero in 5, 10, or 20 years, which is all the Democrats talk about and the Republicans don't talk about it at all. We have to reverse climate change to restabilize the climate. The last time the CO2 changed this much this quickly in our atmosphere, it took 130,000 years for the planet to restabilize.
Well, you know, we're running out of time, but I just want to get one more question in. I have like three or four other questions. I want to get one more question in, and this is like a broad question that connects your interview with that of Chairman O'Malley. What does justice mean to you and the Green Party? Can you summarize that in like a minute or so?
Justice means that every person is treated as an equal and with dignity. And what I've heard and what we know about with the treatment of Chairman O'Malley, Greens have a profound commitment to the quality of all human beings with redress and reparations for past harms. And the dehumanizing treatment of African Americans, Native Americans, and immigrants has to be addressed. Frankly, this oppression is really, from a capitalist standpoint, to keep wages low so that the actual total value, the net value of people's work at low wages, is vacuumed up to the super rich and put into their salaries as executives. For instance, UnitedHealthcare's president, when he left, got simply a severance package of $700 million. We have deeply rooted racism in our country. It's hard for a privileged white to appreciate as the dominant race, but it can be utterly crushing for blacks and Native Americans. Local community economic development is the key to so many of the solutions.
Nancy, thank you so much for appearing on the show, providing insight into the programs that we don't normally hear about, because you're basically carved out of corporate media's format. So thank you. Thank you so much. And we look forward to having you back on What's at Stake. How can the WPFW audience reach you very quickly?
Text my phone, 240-644-2952. 240-644-2952.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Look forward to talking to you again.
It's an honor.
I'd like to thank everyone who's contributed to the fund drive today. We are looking forward to future programs and just praying that Chairman O'Malley and the Uhuru 3 will emerge victorious. So thanks to all of our guests, Nancy Wallace and Chairman O'Malley Yesitella. Thanks to executive producer Ms. Verna Avery Brown. This program is engineered by Mr. Michael Nasella. I'm Marcia Adebayo. We are celebrating the 22nd anniversary of the passage of the No Fear Act, the first civil rights and whistleblower law of the 21st century. WPFW salutes whistleblowers.
We're back. WPFW is excited to announce the return of the Social Justice Calendar, your go-to weekly update on the latest events, actions, and initiatives promoting equity, justice, and change across our community. The calendar's mission is to connect you with the heartbeat of grassroots activism in the DMV. Each week, we'll spotlight rallies, workshops, forums, and community actions happening across the region. If you have an event to share, submissions can be emailed to socialjustice@wpfw.org. Please include the name, date, and address of said event in a format that is no longer than a sentence or two on Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, at least 2 weeks in advance of your event date. Space is limited, so submissions are considered in the order that they are received. The Social Justice Calendar is yet another way that WPFW connects, engages, and uplifts our community as we build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
The Kennedy Center's Let's Go There series uses opera to examine contemporary issues. In Beethoven's Fidelio, the husband suffers political imprisonment and his wife impersonates a prison guard to free him. Imprisonment and freedom will be explored in a panel discussion moderated by Nikichi Taifa, featuring Fox and Rob, the inspiring couple from the documentary Time, Danielle Cho, Washington National Opera cellist, and Charles Thornton of the D.C. Corrections Information Council. Acclaimed tenor Chasmin Williams Ali will also perform excerpts from Fidelio. The free event and reception will be held Wednesday, October 30th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at the MLK Junior Library located at 901 G Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C.
The DC Palestinian Film and Arts Festival is back in person for the first time in 6 years. There has never been a more critical time to honor stories created by Palestinians from historic Palestine and around the world. This year's festival featured the DC premiere of 6 films, including From Ground Zero, a collection of 22 short films made by Palestinian filmmakers in Gaza since October 7th, and it's Palestine's official submission to Academy Awards. The festival will also host a hands-on workshop to create your own political art, conversation with filmmakers and artists, and the DC book launch of Visualizing Palestine's first book. Details at dcpfaf.org. WPFW. Building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Fall is a time of change and impermanence. What never changes is WPFW's unwavering commitment to providing reliable news, informative public affairs, and exceptional music that inspires both action and introspection. From October 14th through November 3rd, we celebrate The Circle Unbroken, 47 years of being in the community with WPFW during our Fall Pledge Drive. We invite you to be in community and solidarity with us by making a donation at WPFWFM.org to ensure that this independent grassroots media outlet not only survives, but thrives. It is with your generous support that we build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hi, this is Jim Byers, host of the Latin Flavor Classic Edition. Support from listeners like you are the tools that have built WPFW over nearly 5 decades. We provide news, music worth listening to, and in-depth conversations about your community and the world. One of the many ways you can contribute is to donate a vehicle that you no longer need. Running or not, it can do wonders for WPFW. So donate it for a tax break for 2024. Go to WPFWFM.org or call 1-866-WPFW-CAR. That's 1-866-973-9227 for more information. Help WPFW continue building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Sego, this is John Kane, and I want to invite you to join me right here on WPFW on Fridays at 2 p.m. for Let's Talk Native. I will deliver guests and commentary each week on the real-life issues facing Native people. No romanticizing and no Hollywood stereotypes here. We'll talk real history and culture and life as it is, and history and culture and life as it is and as it should be. Our shows are available.